You are currently the only person in this conference.
Hi, and welcome everybody to InterOccupy's continuing conferences on electromagnetic radiation and microwave dangers. And today's date is January 16, 2014, and we are very, very proud to welcome Curtis Bennett here as our guest. And we are going to be talking about the need for medical education programs and also rewriting the local building codes. And we also need to get assistance to help us move forward on these ventures. And we will also continue the dialogue next week as well for setting up an organization for accrediting medical education programs in local areas. And the scope of medical diagnosis has changed with the grid substantially. People are being hit from head to toe, including me today, I want you to know, because my body's all shaky. I wonder why. I almost didn't get on the show because I have been hit very badly. So please bear with me as I try to continue this. But the way I feel right now is electrified myself. And so I guess they knew that I was going to be doing the show, but I just wanted to let you know what's going on with me so that you'll understand that I'm shaky. So I just wanted to say that we need to have physicians, psychologists, engineers, law enforcers, and other professionals familiar with the devastating effects of living with EMF pain. And the harm it causes is crucial, as the undiagnosed are currently traumatized and unsure what to do or where to go while their symptoms and pain escalate. And the public has turned away from them and they don't believe them. So we need to redefine the building codes also, from structural failure, from weakening, from EMF frequencies. It's very crucial to our physical safety in buildings. So with that in mind, hi, Curtis, how are you today? I'm really shaky, but how are you?
Sandy, listen, you know, I'm here because it's my duty as a credentialed, government-certified and trained professional specific to the issue, and it truly just breaks my heart to hear what you're going through because, you know, some people laugh off at what they call electrohypersensitivity when they just don't understand this is such a technical and significant issue that is just horrifying. And here's an example of why. Here's a Texan yesterday that worked on robotics for the Mars mission. Here's this incredible guy, and he puts a posting out there that when his grandson and him drive by these towers or antennas, his grandson feels popping in his head. And I said, I responded and I said, in a declassified military document, I said, microwave hearing is actually, you know, a thermal expansion of the brain because of the frequency interactions. And then to hear that his grandson is 8 years old, bleeding from the nose, hospitalized, and here's why that's important. He goes into a hospital. The doctors don't know how to diagnose him, don't know what to do, because prior to installing this grid or even considering it, they should have contacted medical education. They should have contacted medicine, biologists, engineers, sciences across the board to say, what's it going to mean to you if we electromagnetically induce your entire areas? And they would have said, you can't do that, because it substantiates how the boy is being hit from head to toe, where they actually admit, we know this triggers nerves, but they left out the grid, and they left out the fact that humans are electrical beings. They only considered whether your water molecules are heating, and it's just ridiculous science. Now, something I want to clarify with you, too, on the building issue is this. All the codes are already in place. But what you're talking about with adapting the code is, here's an example. Canada is talking yesterday about selling off the 700 megahertz frequency range. Here's the Prime Minister of Canada, Industry Canada, after they have been informed that these frequencies are hurting people, causation has been found, they are auctioning off the 700 megahertz range. And do you know why? To hear media reporting this 700 megahertz is so cool because it penetrates deep into buildings, even underground parkades. It should have set off alarm bells because they didn't say to engineers, by the way, is your parkade designed for an electromagnetic bombardment that's going to electromagnetically induce your rebar? It's going to cause high-speed polarization billions of times a second and accelerate corrosion, affect your design, and you can't do that. So with new building code, listen, they would have to adapt the code to accommodate the frequencies, but they just can't do that because these frequencies are not compatible with anything on the planet except those devices they're communicating with. So it's very dangerous, and quite frankly, it just breaks my heart to hear the stuff that you're really going through, because for me to cross-examine utilities experts and for them to say, yes, the nervous and hormonal and immune systems are tied together, and so this is what this is doing to you. And imagine these guys, and this is effectively what's happening. As you move within that electromagnetic field, you know, that field is cutting you at these different angles and triggering nerves and messing around with you biologically, electrically, chemically, that it is just beyond the scope of calculation for this to happen. It's just really horrific to see what's happened with a process that was allowed to bypass all regulatory process.
Absolutely. We also have, I think we have Dr. Ray on too. So, Dr. Ray, do you have any? If you're on, do you have any comments to make as well?
No, I would pretty much agree with what he said so far. There are just a lot of people now who are becoming electrically sensitive, and we've got to figure out ways to protect them and also to clear them from the problem.
Dr. Ray, are you associated with the American Academy of Environmental Medicine?
Yes, I am. I'm from the Environmental Health Center in Dallas.
No, listen. I'm really glad to that you're on this call, and here's why: is that it's so important that even my government and these governments, when we contacted them, I want to thank you guys for so much for stepping up and doing what you've done. But I also want to inform you of this: you know, frequency interactions are an electrical interaction initially before they hit anything, before it's buildings or biology or any of those things. So here's what's really important even to your group, and it's just going to allow you to ramp your language up significantly. The codes related to this human exposure, try to imagine this, that Health Canada uses the same codes, same science standards as the FCC and every other governing body. It's the only code in the world that says this. We don't understand the link between frequencies and hurting people. We're missing causation and biological plausibility and reproducibility, but as soon as we find out, we'll adapt the code as deemed necessary. Well, that in itself should have set off alarm bells, because causation was found and reported to the Canadian government September of 2010, presented in front of Canadian Parliament Standing Committee on Health, October of 2010, and more important to you and your critical work is this: it was lectured for CME credits at the University of Central Florida in January of 2011. And why I say this to you is this: you can imagine this. Have you seen the specific absorption rate, the Sam Phantom model?
Yes, we do, but it's also individual. I wrote my first paper and published it in 1990.
Well, imagine with the Sam Phantom model. When we contacted the Canadian government and the applicable radiation department on the issue, when they use the Sam Phantom model, it's a plastic head with water in the top of it and a temperature probe. So when we asked them, okay, here's the test you're using for cell phones. Now, you've used this for cell phones, the bracket, the cell phones held against the head. It's ridiculous to see this plastic thing in the first place. But when he said, I said, okay, how many antennas were talking to that, are communicating with that cell phone when you did that test? They said, oh, we didn't include that. When I said, where is the bioelectrical information with humans? They said, we didn't include that. They're not electrical. And so you imagine this in a very they are, and that's why you can't leave it out. And Doctor, this is why this is so important. When I cross-examined the electrical engineers and the health professionals. These guys are actually maintaining the science of the specific absorption rate that says this: there's not one peer-reviewed study showing harm, and the reason is they based all their science on whether water molecules were heating, and that's it.
Yeah,
it
I
is
know.
Ridiculous it, what they've done.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Having been a heart surgeon for years, I do know that there are beneficial effects because I've shocked thousands of people back to life after doing cardiopulmonary bypasses, okay? And then we also know that Becker, orthopedic surgeon, has written books on how you can heal wounds, particularly bones and other wounds, with electrical stimulation. And so therefore, there's evidence both pro and con on which areas one can hurt and one can help. I did my first paper on electromagnetic sensitivity in 1991. We published this, and there was just no question that people were hurt by certain frequencies. So anybody who says that it's not true is just really blowing in the wind and not considering all the data, as you well know.
What you're saying is so important, and here's why for this. When I cross-examine the utility again, because codes are very specific. You know, we don't have building codes that say buildings are falling down. And I'm sure that you guys didn't have language in there that said, listen, we don't know what's doing this, but go ahead and do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about liability. When I cross-examined utilities experts, their engineer said to me, we take exception to you saying we're going to irradiate 17,000 square kilometers. And I said, your coverage area for your utility alone is 17,000 square kilometers. And are you going to deploy those frequencies over the equivalent of 6,464 square miles to communicate with meters? And he said, yes. So you imagine with what you're talking about, you're absolutely right that magnetism and electromagnetism in controlled environments, you know, this is how we create electricity. This is how we do wonderful things, but it needs to be done properly. The blanket radiation of entire areas is catastrophically horrific.
I agree with you, and this is why we've got to get over to the public that they have to know what they're getting in with. And we've got thousands.
Well, you know, here, you're 100%.
Dr.
Bray, too. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thousands of people who are complaining about how these smart meters are making them ill.
Well, you're 100% right, and here's another thing, too, with the language here. Everybody says to me electrically, they said, Curtis, if you step back from the meter 10 feet, you're safe. Even the Texas PUC, their safety document says, if you step back from the meter, you're safe. Well, they left out the rest of the wireless circuit communicating with the meter and hitting you from head to toe. And where this gets even uglier as we move forward is utilities actually, those meters have two antennas. And the one antenna is for the Wi-Fi devices that are going to be inside your building to measure your energy consumption. And there might be as many as 20 devices in there. But they haven't disclosed where they're going to be, the orientation to the fields, where they're going to be close to a baby. They haven't done any of this. And so, I want to applaud you on your work. And again, I want to actually apologize to you because here you've been working on this issue since 1991. And here, you know, for me, it wasn't until 2010, because we think everybody's doing their job, it wasn't until I heard them writing off parents talking about Wi-Fi in schools harming their children. I said, holy mackerel, what the heck is that? And I didn't hear that proper language where, oh, the routers, they left out the routers effectively bathing the classroom and putting the children in an electrical circuit when they already have their own electricity.
Yeah, there's, of course, been beautiful work by Milham and other people on how cancer has occurred in school teachers who were set near this stuff for years. It's been well known.
Well, go ahead, please.
Some schools, they would be 20% increase in cancer per year for the teachers that stayed in that area.
You know, Doctor, you think about this with work you're doing. Here's what I did even after such a thing as that horrifying Connecticut shooting that went on with that autistic boy, you know, shooting those children in the face. I contacted medical professionals, and I said, could neurological stimulation interfere with that boy's thought process? Could these frequencies interfere with him? And for these doctors to say, yes, they got into this coherency, incoherency. Dr. Goldberg explained this and said, listen, unfortunately, we're just starting to see the beginning of this crazy behavior because people are being electrically interfered with, and here's you just can't do that. And Dr. Herian, for you, you imagine this. When I actually lecture on medical education for education credits and lecture causation in that program, and I'm just qualifying the electrical mechanisms and that interaction, but it's just horrific for me that when they didn't tell engineers, they didn't tell us as consulting professionals, they didn't inform medicine across the board, here's what we're doing, and they effectively disarmed medicine, and they've caused this horrific, costly issue where even doctors up here are saying, Curtis, we don't even know what these people are talking about. We think they're a little bit crazy, instead of, no, they're being electrically interfered with. So your guys' work, we're using that and leading the way and actually taking it further that, you know, with you guys, there needs to be more than a moratorium. When people said, Curtis, could they do tests and independent studies? I said, no. There is no acceptable electromagnetic induction of anything because you're going to change that. You're going to change it biologically. You're going to genetically modified food. And worse, they're not even addressing the energy issues that they were trying to do in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
But for you to know, too, did you know that Worcester, Massachusetts, their zoning committee put the smart grid on hold there?
Well, I know that's true, and it's true in other places also. It's
very, very, very progressive, and you know what, using your guys' work, and thank you again for that.
It's the big thing, isn't it? In my opinion, this is probably going to be a bigger epidemic than the chemical problem, and that's a horrendous one. And sometimes the two go together.
So much so that you're right. When I get asked electrically, and again, you know, just because, listen, as an electrical professional, listen, we deal with everything on the periodic table, you know, and those electrical properties. And when people say, listen, you know, can this be changed? Can any of this be done? I said, under no circumstances can you do what's being done. There are very particular reasons we confine frequencies to a wire. And to have, you know, politicians, you know, and whatever, I don't care if it's their ignorance, and to have professionals. Imagine under cross-examination when I ask these doctors and these professionals that are trying to flog their flawed report, you know, what did you do with these frequencies interacting with bees and bugs and pollinators and everything that uses the Earth's magnetic field for migration, and to have these professionals say they'll adapt. But they also say that also the 900 megahertz frequencies penetrated the ground over 3 feet.
Yeah, well, it's pure nonsense. You know, there's another angle that we've seen, being a cardiovascular surgeon. We found that a lot of the implants either act as antennas or act as conduits for the electromagnetic sensitivity. And we also find that in some of those people, that if we remove the implant, the middle implant, they do fine. So what does that tell you? Again, that tells you that we're interfering with nature in many ways.
So much so, can I ask you a question? And this is I get this lots. And even though I've had these questions answered for me, here's an example. I get these retired professionals coming up to me, and they said, Curtis, I have a pacemaker. What will these frequencies do to my pacemaker? And I said, what are your manufacturer specs in the pacemaker saying? It says, stay out of an electromagnetic field. And I said, well, guess what? The smart grid is going to take the electromagnetic field to their home and interfere with that pacemaker because they're not. I haven't seen anything yet that says that they would be designed for a radio frequency bombardment.
No, this is really true. I have a patient who had a pacemaker put in several years ago, and suddenly she started reacting to it. So we neutralized her to the metal that was made, the pacemaker was made out of, and we were able to stop her reactions. And this went on for 2 years, and she did fine, and her pacemaker failed. So the new one had to be put in, and she immediately started reacting to that pacemaker. We had to neutralize her for that, she's been fine for the last 5 years now, as long as she takes her neutralizing dose for the frequencies that she needs to keep pain-free. So there's just a classic example you're talking about.
You know, something for you too, and you can. And if I ever thought I'd answer a question like this for a doctor, I got a call from a doctor out of Florida, and he said, "Everybody in this one area has insomnia." He said, "Is that possible?" And I said, "You're never going to believe what I'm going to tell you." I said, "But when you're parallel to those electromagnetic fields and they're cutting all of you and interfering with all of you," I said, "they're going to cause more interference." And he said, "What would you do?" And I said, "Have them flip their bed so they're perpendicular to the field and they'll get hurt less." But I mean, that that's not an excuse for those things, but here's a real example with this, and I've talked about this on this show. You know, we had when wires are run together in a building or together and they're clumped together as they're wiring something, the lines of electromagnetic flux actually cancel each other out. Single power lines are very dangerous, and they can actually induce, here's an example. We had a lineman killed working 7 stories or 70 feet away from a live line, but he was working on a line that was parallel to the other one. So here it was inducing that dead line. He made a mistake and it killed him. If he would have been perpendicular, it wouldn't have killed him. So you think of all your nerves running in all these different directions and your body's all these conductors I don't even understand running in all these different directions. It's going to interfere with all of them differently at the same time. And as they turn, it actually complicates because it changes again.
Yeah, that's right. And you can sometimes shield a bedroom, shield the sleep center so it doesn't get those different waves, and then all of a sudden people can sleep. We've done that sometimes. Sometimes you can just take aluminum foil and put over the windows and then, like you say, change your bed angle, and a lot of times they can sleep in.
You know, I want to share this with you too, and you can imagine this. So here I am with this electrical and a separate engineering background. And the first time they talked about people with tinfoil hats, of course, as a professional, I just laughed it off until I helped somebody design one. And you're absolutely right. And it's important for people to know this too. When they talk about shielding their rooms or doing those things, you know, frequencies will interact with what they can, and these things that they're using will either absorb it, stop it, like clothing for an X-ray, or they will reflect it, like putting foil on the windows and things. But we've still got to stop this grid because, you know, it's just not electrically compatible with anything.
I would agree.
Well, I'm still on the call, by the way. I'm still here being electrified, but I thank you both very much for continuing the dialogue. And I wanted to say I am very grateful for both of you taking over. So if I'd like you to continue if you can, because it's a little difficult for me. So,
well, you know something I'd like to do?
I can't stay.
I like that. Go ahead.
I'll
actually say, I mean, Dr. Bray, something that we're going to be doing is that, Medical Education Administration has also actually been on this call. And, that medical education program that actually lectured causation at the University of Central Florida, they're going to be in touch with you guys, because here's the bottom line with this is that for us to find causation, this, and again, when they say this to me electrically, what does that mean? And they said, Curtis, you are substantiating electrically what the American Academy of Environmental Medicine is saying. I said, correct. And they said, it's an electrical interaction, firstly. I said, correct. They said, you're substantiating the bioinitiative report. You're substantiating the reporting. You're doing all the above, because imagine these guys moving forward when they say we're missing causation. That's why they got away with when the World Health Organization reported cell phones as possibly carcinogenic. If Canada would have done their job and passed on that causation had been found, it showed how the frequencies were hitting people from head to toe. And, you know, they would have been classified, I'm sure, as carcinogenic immediately. So we're going to be getting putting you in contact with them, because you guys need to talk. Sharon Weinstein is just a hard-nosed professional. You know, I've had to, even the first time I dealt with her, we were I was with her husband, and we were 2 minutes late for one of her meetings, and she told us, surgery time starts at 7, boys, don't do it again. But she put together these programs, and you guys need to talk together as peer professionals and education professionals, and because they've got information that just takes what you're doing to another level and actually gives you guys just more bite. But again, I use your documents for the symptoms, for all the above, because it's 100% true. If those frequencies hit you from head to toe, that whole complexity of health challenges are a reality. And something else that's important too, in this utilities meeting, when I said, you know, they said, Curtis, you know, some people are electro-hypersensitive. I said, if your coverage area is 6,564 square miles, you might have some people more sensitive. You are electromagnetically inducing 100% of the people. And although some might be stronger, some might be turned differently to the fields, some might be in weaker fields, you are hitting and hurting everybody. And something on our end here, you know, we've been working for industry and insurers, you know, for decades. And this is something that I've maintained from the beginning, is this: insurers are not going to pick up the costs health-wise, building-wise, infrastructure-wise, crop-wise, death rates and everything else, and just let these guys move forward. And even today, as a matter of fact, dealing with the Texas PUC and what's going to go on with the governor's offices, listen, we're calling this negligence. A faulty report came out of the Texas PUC by, I think it's Alan Rivaldi. I was on Texas PUC's expert panel. And for this guy to do what he did, guess what? He recklessly endangered Texans as a result, and undermined his own government by putting out this flawed, ridiculous report supporting that we're not hitting you enough to warm your water molecules.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. I just want to say that I have April on also. So, hi, April. How are you?
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to thank the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. I had made a request to them for a letter for the Clark County, Nevada schools, for a letter to the superintendent, because they had one on their site for the Unified School District of Los Angeles. And I actually made that request, and it was approved, or it got put on the calendar. And then when it came back as a letter to the superintendents of all United States school districts. And I just want to say thank you for that, because that means that nobody else has to wait before they can get that letter or a letter from AAEM. And I just wanted to say thank you. That's all.
I'd like a copy of that letter for all reasons in the world, because it's, you know, we're actually working in these other schools too. So that would be great to see.
It's on their website. You can print it out from their website.
No, that's important, because here's what's important to me is that, you know, we're electrically, even you can imagine this, and Doctor, you'll appreciate this too. You know, I had physicists, masters of science, and administrators and all different kinds step forward and say, Curtis, we don't believe that this is hurting people. And I said, you're not electrically qualified in your opinion. You can't just simply talk about frequencies and just write them off and dismiss them. So that's the part where they said, you know, listen, we don't believe the American Academy. And I said, they're not substantiating causation. We are. They're medically qualified. We aren't. And so here is this tag team effect going on where, one, this is being electrically, our causation is being qualified, substantiating you. It's now lectured in medical education for education credits applicable across the U.S. And I think, as a matter of fact, that program was approved by the CME credits to approve for state boards of medicine, dentistry, nursing, et cetera. So for all of you across there in listening to this, this is so critically important, is that they need to know that the science used to substantiate this is absolute garbage. The specific absorption rate is a plastic head that doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have limbs. It doesn't have organs. It doesn't have a brain. It's got salt water or some stimulant or some fluid in it. There is nothing biological about it. So that's why the little plastic head doesn't get adverse health effects.
Right. I just wanted to say if, first of all, Dr. Ray had to leave, so he's not on the call anymore. I just want to say if people have some questions, please press 2 on your keypad, and I'll open it up for questions to other people. So go on to the who has. Donna, how are you today?
Oh, thank you. How's everybody else? Doing well, I hope.
Okay.
My question basically is, and again, thank you, Curtis, for being on the line. Belated thank yous to Dr. Ray. In terms of the fact that Curtis is repeating several times the fact that these tests were conducted on a head that was filled with water and not on human bodies, and therefore does not reflect a correct biological result, as in how that the electromagnetic field would affect humans. My question would be, what is the easiest way to obtain, let's say, peer-reviewed journal studies? And I realize these are faulty, et cetera, et cetera. But is there evidence that can be quickly pointed to as to why it's significant that the head filled with water does not reflect the biological sameness of a human? In other words, I've heard you explain this, but for me, and I've heard you say many times, they used a water-filled head, but the general public needs to be able to grasp a connection between the two. And in order to try to explain it to people, I think that trying to understand why that's so drastically different in some type of common terminology, layman's terms, I think that's the key for people to understand why this science is faulty. So I'm just asking if there is some specific things you can point to or some research where I can gain those connections. Thank you. I yield.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, this is such a complex technical issue, you know, even when we dug into this to see what was done or otherwise. But here's what you'll like is there's codes related to the limits of human exposure. So everybody adopted what they call the specific absorption rate. The FCC did it, Canada did it, the world did it. Well, the specific absorption rate is effectively a dosage of electromagnetic radiation. But when you test a circuit, now if I was going to test a wired circuit, you test that wired circuit from front to back. You want to make sure it's fine. When they use that plastic head, when I talk about the plastic head and a cell phone attached to the, on a bracket to the side of the head, the first thing you say in a wireless circuit is, where is the rest of the circuit and what did you do with that? Because you need the grid or you need antennas to talk to that cell phone. Well, to find out that the specific absorption rate only considered the cell phone as an end-use device. It did not incorporate the towers at all or the antennas at all. And as a matter of fact, and taken further, the specific absorption rate did not include any bioelectrical information associated with humans. Now, here's an example for me. When you mix two frequencies, you get a resultant frequency that might not be recognized. So when you think of how many frequencies are associated with the human body, you know, you're just interfering with the electrical system. Now, here's why that's important when it comes to smart meters. Unfortunately, here's what happened. When you see that plastic head, and I believe that Sandy's got images of it, or you can just see pictures of it, or if you contact us, we'll show you. It's on our website. You can just see this plastic head. For all reasons in the world, here's what these dumbasses did, quite frankly. They said this, well, listen, we don't want to use this just for cell phones. We want to use it for Wi-Fi and for smart meters. So what industry did is this, and what government did is this. That code, safety code 6, exposure to these frequencies, is based on 6 minutes exposure for a full-grown man. So when they looked at that mannequin head, they said, hey, when the kids are in school, the laptop's not held next to their head like the cell phone. So, listen, they're good for 24/7 exposure. When it came to smart meters, they said, hey, the meter's not held against the head like a cell phone, so you're good for 24/7 exposure. But they left out the Wi-Fi router in the classrooms that are required to talk to that laptop, and that's bathing the classroom and putting children in that electrical circuit. When it came to the smart meter, they left out the grid that they admit is going to blanket these areas, and you just can't leave out a 6,564 square mile electromagnetic field in an electrical equation. So they left that out and only based this on, listen, how many people have used a microwave before? And you put a cup of water in there, and guess what? You heat it up to see the water molecules heat up so your coffee's warmed up. The idea that they based this test on a mannequin head, they tested nothing biological, nothing electrical. And as a matter of fact, somebody said to me yesterday, even the insurance industry, when they do those crash test dummies, they wire them so that they can find out what happened to them. They didn't do this in this case. And again, here's a code that says it was missing data, which should have made these guys stop prior to causation. They have to find causation before they start to irradiate people, because that's what you're doing. You can't electromagnetically radiate people 24/7 and just expect for all to be well. It's going to kill people. It's going to, listen, it's the equivalent of a subtle taser 24/7.
I mean, that's really true. I mean, I know that for a fact. That's true. I mean, I'm feeling it as we sit here, as we talk. I'm feeling electrified. For some reason, it's getting worse for me today. So I'm not quite sure exactly what I said. I think that whoever is doing this, however this is done, is trying to prevent this from being out in the open before. And I don't still understand, Curtis, why the government or whomever is doing this would not want this out in the open. If this is true, I would think that more people would wrap their minds around this concept. What is that all about? Not exactly.
Well, here's what we found out during cross-examination of the utilities experts as well, because I was there not just representing communities as a registered intervener. I was there as an electrical and building engineering professional trying to find out what the heck did you guys do. And for me to find out during this application, now here's an example here. The BC government, shame on them, issues a document or do whatever they do. They allow special consideration for BC Hydro they entrusted them to install smart meters because, listen, they've got an energy objective. So they entrusted them to install the meters and the grid, and which meant they were allowed to bypass all regulatory process, including contacting other professionals to see what the heck was going on. And what they didn't even understand with what they did is this. The utility can come on your property and work on a meter. You know, they're going to maintain that. Listen, that's their equipment. Listen, they can maintain that. The utility does not have the jurisdiction or authority to bathe that municipality with high-speed electromagnetic fields to communicate with those meters, because you're literally going to interfere with 100% of everything in the coverage area. You can't do that. So this is what happens when governments, listen, when you don't do your job, you don't do your job and you entrust them to play with what would be a frequency and biological weapon is applied. But I want to clarify this too. You know, I'm not here as a lobbyist of any particular kind. When we work for industry, insurers, or all the above, we reported this to the utilities and to the government to say, listen, you can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to have liabilities, which aren't just going to be civil. They're going to be criminal. Because if I designed a building, or if I build a building, and I didn't do my job properly, or my guys didn't do their job properly, the buck stops with me. And if people got hurt, I would be tried and I would be jailed for reckless endangerment. You know, there's nobody exempt from that, and that's including politicians. So there's going to be a lot going on with this, and it's really unfortunate because when we tell these guys, hey, don't do that, you can't do that, you can appreciate this. When we tell you, don't climb over the fence and grab a hold of those wires, everybody typically listens to us. Or if we consult for fire departments and they say, don't go into that building, you're not going in there. To have politicians and administrators and lawyers just dismiss us because of this inconvenience, listen, this is something that they're going to have to answer to, including their criminal liability. And that's just a reality. We work for energy companies. We work for all industry. We work for governments. This is just a fact of life and a fact of law.
It's a fact of everything. The other thing that I don't get is it's a criminal act. And so, I mean, I know that we're trying to do whatever we can to counteract criminal acts. Yet, I mean, do we have the capabilities of doing that? I mean, do we have such a big force? It's such a big bear in front of us. What do we do? I mean, how do we do that?
Sandy, those are great questions because here's what people should be doing. Now, here's something as a matter of fact that we did yesterday. The federal government, the Canadian government, is auctioning off 700 megahertz frequency ranges because this is higher penetrating and penetrates deeper, goes further, less infrastructure. Well, the first thing that we did because we want to get a hold of what's going on is contacting the Prime Minister of Canada and MP Ron Cannon and to say to them, provide, and this is what people should be doing. You should be going to your municipality and going to your local government, your local inspection department, your local engineers, and say, provide us documentation where it's acceptable to bombard your buildings with those frequencies, because they didn't tell engineers. So engineers would not sign off on it. There's no way they'd sign off on it. So for people to get that, ask those questions. To take Sharon Weinstein, now again, as an international medical education administrator, to take her the letter that she's written that you guys do have on file, I believe, now, and print that off and take that to your doctor showing that this is lectured, the dangers of these frequencies is applied, is lectured for medical education credits applicable in every state, and that means it's now accepted medical education. It's not an opinion. So that's a game changer for your doctors, because otherwise these guys unfortunately just are overwhelmed thinking, what the heck are you talking about these symptoms? Now, I want to be fair to doctors with this too, because, you know, I work with a great doctor that said this to me, and he said, why aren't you taking care of your business, Curtis? Why are you bringing this stuff to us like this? We're not supposed to work with electromagnetic fields like this. And I said, you're 100% right, and we would never normally do this or have this brought into your office, because when you go get an X-ray, everybody knows this. You sit in an intended position of use, and they say, okay, hold still. You're protected with shielded clothing. They say, hold still. Okay, take the picture. You can't go and run around and spin around with no protective clothing while they're doing that X-ray, but guess what? With these very subtle frequencies going through you from head to toe and no shielding whatsoever, and every time you turn, you know, we've seen pictures of mutated chickens after being radiated for 21 days. The eggs were radiated for 21 days, and it mutated chicks. Our baby girls, your children, the young women and everything, these frequencies hitting you are interfering with your reproductive systems. And you imagine this, when we're qualifying causation. It's Barry Trower and those other professionals that talk about genetic mutation of ovaries, genetic mutation, breaking DNA, and all of these horrific things that come along with that. So people need to be aware. People need to be aware this is a real issue. As much as we like wireless devices, I love technology. You know, I'm kind of jealous in a way of all this technology, except guess what? I don't use that wireless stuff like that for all reasons in the world, including a cell phone. I took cell phone radiation images a decade ago showing what it looks like outside the plastic head. And it's really disturbing and disgusting. That's why you just don't do that. So people need to take that to their doctors. You need to take that to your municipality. You need to take that to your government, your local municipality, and tell them that these utilities and the FCC, it doesn't matter what's FCC, Canada, whatever the case may be, these guys have effectively bypassed the jurisdiction of the municipality, dismissed the building inspection department, dismissed the harm to buildings, and just said, listen, we put this in here. We haven't told anybody about it. So you need to incorporate your local professionals into this because they weren't told.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and Mark from New York, he had a question. So, Mark, can I
put him to say? Yeah, hi, Curtis.
Hello.
I was at the inauguration this past weekend of the Manhattan Borough President. Okay, and as part of her speech, she told 5,000 people how she's going to be pushing to expand Wi-Fi throughout Manhattan and throughout all the schools in all of Manhattan. How do we control this?
Well, here's what you can pass on to them. And here's an important part, too, when I'm talking this. Imagine this. You're going to get ridiculous professionals that are going to say, Curtis, you know, I've actually had professionals say, Curtis, you know, what you're talking about is a hypothesis. And I said, do you think we hypothetically produce electricity? But here's what you need to tell these guys. Listen, Wi-Fi makes it so simple, they think, because look at this. People can hook up everywhere. You can hook up everywhere. And if you're hooking up everywhere and you're spending money everywhere, it's good for everybody. What that representative needs to understand is this. The blanket deployment of Wi-Fi, as they're talking about, will cause their buildings to violate building code specific to vibration, specific to their designs. They cannot do that. And cannot means cannot do that. You need to go to them and say, I want documentation from professional engineers who are insured for errors and omissions insurance that accept what you're doing with this blanket to radiation and Wi-Fi, and engineers will not do it. And here's that reason why is on this end here we are as electrical professionals substantiating the electrical mechanism for civil engineers where these guys said, Curtis, you can't induce that building. You can't vibrate that structure like that. You imagine these frequencies, these Wi-Fi frequencies, they know they're penetrating without a doubt. The more load on the Wi-Fi system, the more aggressive the frequencies are. Now you imagine this, if Wi-Fi is 2.4 gigahertz and that's what they're going to use, that means you're going to have these electromagnetic fields going through people, going through buildings, and they're going to, one, they're going to electromagnetically induce everything. Two, they're going to cause a high-speed polarization that is going to, you can imagine, at atomic and molecular levels, buildings, people, infrastructure, everything is going to vibrate and try to change direction 4.8 billion times a second. So you imagine taking a piece of drywall or a fire separation and spinning it upside down back and forth 4.8 billion times a second, your fire separations are coming apart. So for that representative to say that they're going to do that, one, you're going to endanger the community. Your buildings aren't going to be compliant with code. You're going to endanger New York firefighters. And quite frankly, you know, that's disgusting after everything that they've been through. So they just have to think more. There are very particular reasons we wire industry.
We understand that. The thing is that, first of all, these people are not aware of any of this stuff. And even if you make them aware, are they going to believe it? How much time do we have for them to believe this and to get this
You're right. Listen, here's the reality. Listen, and this is, again, I want people to understand this, is that as electrical and engineering professionals, when we consult for people, we consult for oil, gas, everybody, all the above. When we consult for these guys on keeping their economy moving, keeping their electrical systems going so they're not blowing up and hurting people, they get cheaper insurance rates, we do not get dismissed administratively. And what these guys need to know is this. The damage is measurable by the second. Even when they're talking with smart meters that over here they said, okay, as an example, smart meters. Curtis, they're only transmitting for a few minutes a day. I said, your grid is on 24/7, which means 24/7 radiation. And here's another thing that's horrible. I don't believe for one second that that state representative or the city representative just did this with the intent to hurt anybody. Imagine for them, in doing what they've done, they've effectively undermined them because they really think they're doing a good job instead of that's where the economy was, is that the missed economy is we're supposed to wire schools for these upgrades. We're supposed to do construction for these upgrades, not just put a router in a classroom and radiate the whole area.
See, the thing is that most of these people who are in public office are there to better something, and they think that by putting Wi-Fi in schools and electrifying the whole community and making everything Wi-Fi throughout the city, where they're competing with other places that currently have that. So in a way, they think that's a good thing to add more Wi-Fi and things, and to allow them the leeway of being able to explore the possibility this is actually not wonderful but harmful. I mean, I don't know the degree of which we can do this on a fast track basis. I mean, I don't know what has to happen in order for that.
You have to inform. Once you get engineers informed, here's an important part. And again, listen, when we do this for you can imagine this. It doesn't matter if we're working for oil fields. Listen, we'll isolate an electrical problem while it's under load. And we've actually isolated these electrical problems that if it would have gone to failure, would have caused the place to blow up. It would have killed people, set the place on fire. This is why insurers get involved, and we actually work with insurers and industry at the same time to do this. What we're telling these guys is this, whether they like it or not. Policy is based on science, not the other way around. Here, imagine this. Lawyers have had a hard time battling the electromagnetic field interaction issue because causation was missing. It wasn't explained properly. They didn't invite the right people to the party to discuss this issue. They quite frankly didn't invite all the right professionals there so we could get into this and say, hey, you can't do that. And here's the thing. You can imagine this. If I installed something that was hurting my neighbors, hurting somebody else, and they could prove it, lawyers are going to get involved. Engineers are going to get involved. They're insured for this. Architects, Sandy, we've talked about this as well. Architects are not going to stand by and watch their building designs fall down, liable, and their insurance companies aren't. So informing their insurance companies that, guess what? Here's the information. Here's the real science that was left out of this equation, and you just can't leave that out. You know, people sharing that, you know, when I actually showed that mannequin head or that plastic head to doctors, I actually had a doctor say, that makes me want to throw up because it is so scientifically ridiculous to have a plastic head with water in a temperature probe. It doesn't reflect human interactions. So for the person out there talking about their state rep, listen, I would love to provide information for them. And again, it's not a singular opinion. When the peer-reviewed science is called electricity. You know, it's just not. It just can't be disputed. It cannot be disputed. Even the specific absorption rate. The specific absorption rate is a dosage of electromagnetic radiation. That's how we produce electricity.
We know this. We all know this now on the call. We've all been educated. We don't know. Donna, did you have a question? You're unmuted, but I just wanted to say, if anybody else has some questions, please press through so that I can call upon you. But also, it just seems like we push and we push, and we all know this. We all know it. It's like there is no doubt that for some reason, we don't know the some reason yet. Why is this perpetuating itself? Donna, can you fill in here? Can you ask your question, and then let's have another more discussion.
Well, yeah, actually, I had a question, but it might tie in nicely with the statement you just made as well. When Curtis was commenting on, there was a mention of a representative that wanted to blanket Manhattan with Wi-Fi. So, you know, obviously,
One of the issues, and I think this is helping to answer Sandy's question right now as well, the largest issue we face is the fact that people have found the technology of cell phones and computers indispensable to modern life. That being said, even myself, who has been an original organizer of Occupy San Diego and has had my electromagnetic frequency monitor since we were even forming and trying to explain these concepts to people on these chemical biohazards or these electromagnetic biohazards that I feel are existing in our environment, I am still not able to convince people that technology is harming them. Now, I believe that exposure to these electromagnetic frequencies acts in some way to cause people to have addictions to these frequencies. I know several people personally that are absolutely, their central nervous system is just, pardon the language, but just, it's foobar. They are so affected by being around electromagnetic fields nonstop, and it has affected the way they think. It has affected their attention spans. It has affected their effectiveness as humans, and certainly affected their communication with other humans. They're interrupting and shaking and jittering and are irritable and go into fits of anger. And I cannot imagine that people at this point in time are going to be willing to give up the opportunity of free Wi-Fi, which is what my point is about Occupy San Diego. Most of our meetings are contingent on meeting someplace where there is free Wi-Fi. So I know from what I've heard on these other calls that the reason that Wi-Fi is offered over grounded connections is because it's cheaper. So the biggest thing I was going to ask initially, my question was, what is the solution to the absolutely required need of modern people to have Wi-Fi, to use their technology, to use their computers and their phones? What is the possible healthiest solution, which I know has something to do with grounded connections that are safer for humans but are more expensive? So we need to be able to not only say we can't do this, because at this point I feel people are addicted. We have to be able to provide a workable solution to blanketing and exposing everyone to electromagnetic frequencies through Wi-Fi. I yield. Thank you for your help.
Here's something to think about with this, and again, with people's addictions. Here's the reality of this, and again, I'm saying this only in a qualified electrical and engineering opinion for all reasons in the world, and I lecture medical education. People don't want to hear my personal opinion related to these things, but here's why with what you're talking about is important, and if you send us something, listen, we will do the same thing we did for Worcester, and provide them something for their committee in our qualified capacity as electrical and building engineering professionals. And they need this because you can imagine this. When we consult on these issues related to billion-dollar processes and we say, listen, you've got a problem here, they've got a choice. You can shut that down and take care of that problem, or you can let the place blow up. And that's going to be the bottom line with this. And here's why I say this to you with this. People can have their addictions, but here's why this stuff has to stop. Here, imagine this, for me to represent this to engineers. Your education is no longer going to be applicable. Sandy is an architect. Her education is no longer going to be applicable. I'm an electrical and building engineering professional. My education is no longer going to be applicable. We won't need universities anymore because biology is not going to be applicable. Medicine is not going to be applicable. Everything in existence will change from the ground up with this. All sciences will change, and we will have to redefine science before we can do it again. There's nothing more catastrophically horrific that could have been done than this blanket radiation, electromagnetic field radiation of a planet that runs on a magnetic field. So these guys have to understand this, is that, listen, they have to figure this out because it's not insurable. And here's what insurers will do. Insurers will do this in time. As soon as they find out, oh, listen, you've got an addiction to Wi-Fi. Well, good. We're not going to insure you. You're not going to get claims. You're not going to do this. And imagine this, too. We're going to have to shut down the court systems. Do you know why? We're going to give criminal excuse to everybody because they're neurologically stimulated because of what you're talking about. And here it's affecting that coherency and incoherency. The trade-off in this is scientifically real. And if you ask me if I ever thought I'd talk like this technically, the answer would have been no. I would have bet the farm on it. But I also never thought that we would employ the blanket radiation of this because, electrically speaking, you cannot do that. And that is me talking as both a provincial and nationally qualified, government-trained and certified professional. So even, like I said, get some information to me. I would look forward to helping you with this, and then your officials can step in and do more. But what you guys are doing and bringing this forward has to be done. They have not been told about the dangers. They're going based on this. Hey, this stuff is safe. But they're not telling them that the test they're using isn't even applicable science. It's ridiculous science.
Well, you know, I don't know where anybody is going to go with how to correct this in such a short period of time when everybody's so addicted to this technology, as well as nobody wants to admit or do anything about it in the government or any law enforcement agency or political person. I just don't know what the answer is in terms of educating these people so that they will start to undo this. I don't know what the link is and what the key is. I can't find the key. I don't think anybody who's listening here has the key. And
Sandy, you're right. You're right so much that this is what happens when, this is why governments of the people, for the people, are supposed to do their jobs. Not allow, there's nobody in existence that should be, there's no professionals that should be allowed to bypass regulatory process. And the fact that they did that with a radio frequency EMFs to blanket these areas, listen, there's nothing more catastrophically scientifically horrific that they could have allowed to move forward, because they've already moved forward and that damage is already real. You know, people sneaking on your property and swapping meters when they're not qualified to touch it electrically. You know, these issues are real right now, and we're reaping what we sow for our governments not doing their job and for somehow allowing this to get out of hand like this. But it has to be addressed without exception, because here's the bottom. Listen, extinction is a reality. Mutation and extinction. There's nothing that's going to live through this. This will knock the foliage off of trees. This will kill crops, kill bees, kill pollinators. This will kill everything, take care of our food sources, and that will be the end of it. And for real, it's just a horrible issue.
Is that the end of it? I mean, you know, this is just one issue of so many other issues that Occupy is trying to deal with. And it all goes down to the same result, which is this one stupid word, which I can't grapple with. It's called depopulation. Now, Magna Havis talks about it. Ole Johansson talks about it. All the top scientists, all those researchers have been doing this for 20, 30 years. That is their deductive thought, is depopulation. That 10% of the population will exist on this earth because we don't have enough oxygen to support the rest of it. So, I mean, this is not your area of expertise, Curtis, but, I mean, you know, we have so much information that we can just hand everybody. We have all the documentation from Deborah Tavera. She's got it on her website. Everything from the government points to the fact that we are headed for depopulation. Now, I don't know where to go with that question, so I'm just going to open it up to Kathy and Donna. Anybody have any suggestions or
mean, we always go back to this, so let's continue. Please, I've unmuted all of you, so please continue. Kathy, you have
okay, to... yeah, one thing I was going to say, I assume this is Curtis. I got on the phone call late. Is this
yes.
Curtis speaking today?
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
Curtis,
yes.
I'm one of the people that helped stop the mesh net and then the opt-out, and we have the opt-in in the eWeb in Eugene, Oregon. And so one thing, you know, that we're, the next step is, and this is kind of a curious piece of trivia, but when I requested a copy of the file notes or the minutes from the first steering meeting of the opt-in, they said there were no notes and no minutes. So now under a public records request, which is what you do with publicly owned utilities, you do an FOIA with other government agencies, but utilities require just a simple public records form. I'm going to ask in the future that they take notes that are recordable and are, you know, liable to be reported into court if necessary. And so this is one thing that we're going to do out here. But if you, Curtis, have two things you could do to really help the movement would be to put like three or four cogent paragraphs on maybe the website about what people are or should be worried about. I mean, you had two sentences today, and I only remembered one of them, the idea that it's like a light taser, tasering people lightly 24/7. That was a great phrase, and I'm going to try to use that to the next eWeb board meeting. But a few paragraphs like that would be very helpful for those of us in the field who don't have your technical background. And the second thing is, do you have any experience with the Census-USA FlexNet system? Remember, Census is the one vendor that bought some radio frequencies from the FCC when they were available years ago. So they were the head of the smart meter pack, which is probably why PGE in Portland put in 830,000 of those models. And so I was just wondering if you have any familiarity with those. And I did requisition the health complaints and other complaints from the Oregon PUC last July, and I made a recommendation, which they accepted, that anybody can just get those now for the cost of the CD and $5. And it's just, you know, it's a couple hundred pages. But there's only a few health complaints in that Census USA of the 830,000 people that had those meters installed. However, people were calling me, and they're saying that people were telling them, oh, it's a lot better than the mesh net. What are you complaining about? You could be in California. So I wanted to know if you have any familiarity with the Census USA point-to-point system like FlexNet.
Well, and here's the thing, because, you know, this is new to me that, you know, even when we started to dig into this, to see that, you remember this, a wireless circuit is the same as a wired circuit. It has a start and has an end. So I've actually seen, you know, here's an example with Texas Utility Oncor. When they said, listen, we're going to allow for an opt-out. Well, here to get their lawyer to answer this, utility answered this through their lawyer. What's the average geographical coverage area of one smart meter router? 5 square miles. What, one collector? 125 square miles. Well, one, if you're in that 125 square miles and you opt out, it's not going to make a difference. Now you get into the mesh network where I just dealt with this utility we're with here, and Jerry Flynn and his incredible work, and this is what I like about Jerry, the utility. He said to the utility, you know, let's talk about your network here in this wireless circuit. Well, this utility said, no, we're going to do this mesh network where we're going to have meters on everybody's home where everybody's going to radiate each other. And they said, well, they didn't say radiate, but Jerry pinned him down. He said, what's the coverage area of on one home? How far does it go out? And they said 2 to 3 kilometers, which is, you know, what is that, 1 to 2 miles. So you think my nearest neighbor here is 50 yards away from me. So neighbors are going to radiate neighbors. But something you can do, too, is, listen, if you get that information to us, because, and again, listen, I don't, we're not any superstars here. It's really just, you know, digging into this and our group digging into this to find out what happened. But something that we did for Patricia Burke's wonderful work and and her associates there is they asked us to provide a document for that zoning application as well as to look at their zoning application. And here's an example of this when they look at this. The zoning application for their utility said this, are you going to harm wetlands or any other areas? No, the equipment's not on, not close to swampland. Well, guess what? They're right. Their equipment isn't, but the frequencies are. Is this going to harm buildings? No, it's not close to those buildings. Of course it's not, but the frequencies are. And so to show us that circuit and allow us to write for you in our capacity, because when your electrical and engineering and insurance professionals see this, you know, listen, we're working for industry for all these times. Listen, there aren't margins of error, and we look forward to providing this for you. But listen, with that, we also disputed the committee. Now, the zoning committee. Listen, I want to applaud them so much for what they did in Massachusetts. But this as well, Patricia said. Listen, they really don't want to talk about health and environmental issues, and I just put in my document to them that they have to talk about environmental and health issues because they left it out. And here's the applicability. But the sad part is that they still went forward with their pilot project, and they're electromagnetically radiating 75,000 homes. And you've got to see this. You've got to see the video of the meeting. You've got it. You can see this letter. You can see what the press kicked out. And it's wonderful to see in a great example for more. And what they're doing now is they're talking about having an accredited medical education program in their area, and that would bring in, you know, the people for, like I say, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. We'll get these education administrators talking to each other about this issue, but they're ramping it up. So, you know, you here again is just and Sandy, something you could do is this: is if people would even ask questions even ahead of time, and we really don't care who it is, who's doing this, because we would work for anybody. And here's an example where a radio frequency engineer said, Curtis, the power density drops off with distance. And I said, do the frequencies drop off? And he said, no. And I said, that's the problem. I said, just because your load is dropped off, it doesn't mean you're not still getting that frequency interaction. You cannot do that. So we would look forward to providing information to you and your municipality, because imagine this, all of your building engineering departments in your municipality, your mayors, your council people, and everybody have not been told that, oh, by the way, when the test came to safety, we left out that grid, we left out that information hitting all your buildings, hitting your infrastructure, where your buildings aren't going to be insurable anymore. You're not going to get mortgages. You're not going to do this. And the reflection back on the municipality is just going to be horrific. And it's just an electrical reality. There's information that we can provide. And if you'd actually ask Sandy, give them that information, you know, we'll get the appropriate professionals to provide you information, and look forward to representing that. Now, something that something else that Patricia and those Burke and their group did in and Worcester as well, as this, is that they had a state senator and the head of the electrical engineering department step up and say, these frequencies are safe. So they wanted me to qualify the senator and the electrical engineer in their medical opinion, and they don't have one. And even then, to see this electrical engineer overstep his boundaries and talk about health effects when he's not qualified to say that, and then to hear his description saying, well, think about heating water molecules. Think about heating water molecules. They didn't tell this electrical engineer, by the way, do you know that they left out a whole bunch of frequencies and electrical information that you should have consulted on before you talked? Because he has errors in emissions insurance as well. So we just critiqued that and said, listen, he's talking outside his area of expertise. And that's his problem as to why he'd do that. I don't, and nobody that I know and we work with, we don't tell the painter what to do. We don't tell a plumber what to do. We don't tell the architect. Architects don't tell us. We all do our jobs within existing code and law to be compliant with code, sustainable and insurable.
Yeah, I agree with everything. Patricia Burke is on the call, too, so thank you for joining us, Patricia, in Massachusetts. I offer mute. How are you today?
I'm good. I wanted to mention something else, too, because I do really think the tide is starting to turn and that we're not in the same position we were when we started this, you know, fight. But one of the documents that keeps getting submitted in every state is this Texas PUC document, which was commissioned by the Department of Energy. And we've been working, a couple of different states wrote their own little rebuttals. But what happened is Texas Against Smart Meters now is trying to pressure the lieutenant governor to conduct an investigation into this document. And I think it's actually going to happen. Do you know, Curtis?
Well, I don't know if I'm I can say this right now, but here's what I can tell you. The guy that wrote that document, Alan Rivaldi, listen, he wrote that document, and it's really unfortunate. This unqualified professional ignored everything that went on with the PUC. The Texas PUC ignored critical data, effectively undermined the state of Texas and the lieutenant governor and all the above. And I can tell you this, that Texas residents and thanks for Patriot Char and their group for doing this, but I've already heard these rumors here. The lieutenant governor is going to have a meeting in his office, and they're going to have everybody in there, including the PUC, Alan Rivaldi, lawyers, lieutenant governor, and they're going to Skype us in to this. And we're going to technically educate him, would be the polite way to put that, but also remind him that his reckless endangerment, his document, his absolute garbage science document, undermined the U.S. and the fact that other departments picked this up, other states picked this up. I actually had to address this in a Canadian application because they submitted that document as evidence when it is just absolutely baseless science. And here's the thing with Rivaldi and the Texas PUC. When I talk about, we tell professionals, listen, you got to duck. You can't do that. Well, guess what we told the PUC? You can't do this. You can't do this. And Rivaldi should have read this stuff too because, listen, don't know him. Don't know if he's a nice guy. Listen, that's the bottom line. But guess what? This guy recklessly endangered Texans and the public. And listen, he's going to have a liability with that, including criminal.
Yeah, and I think as soon as this goes public, everybody can write to their state PUC and even just say that the document is under investigation. We don't even have to wait for it to be, you know, resolved. But I think it's going to happen very quickly. And, you know, part of it is that Josh Del Sol from Take Back Your Power, we were talking about actually, you know, going public with a video. And because all these people worked together, it gave Patriot Char the fuel she needed to put the pressure on him because it's going to embarrass the heck out of that state. And also, two major conservation organizations are using that document to justify their statements, too. So it's like a domino. When we knock this thing down, you know, other things are going to start to fall.
Yeah, that's true. And that's true. And they're going to target all of us who are doing this, too. You've got to also be aware that they do not want this out in the open. So they're going to fight us as if we're their enemies, although we're actually trying to help them all, but I'm sorry to interrupt that kind of thought.
Can I add something to that which you're going to like so much? And again, Patricia, you know, listen, thank you so much for all you guys have done out there, because when I watch your own politicians, and here's what people need to listen to, here were their local politicians stepping up, and to hear the politicians say to that zoning appeal board, there are complaints in every state, every country in the world regarding the deployment of these frequencies like this. And he said, and we have to stop this before it's a bigger liability issue than it is. They were elected to represent you, not a utility, not an economy, and not all of those things related to this. So people need to listen to that too, because, listen, here's the bottom line. Causation, here's what's horrible. Building codes don't have anything in them that say, listen, buildings are falling down, but you guys go ahead and build them anyways. Electrical codes don't contain things that say, listen, we don't know why people are being electrocuted, but you guys go ahead anyways. For this code and for these countries, anybody to move forward in a code that says it's missing cause, but we'll change the code as soon as we find out cause, well, guess what? Cause has been found. And the tide has changed. Biological plausibility has been found. Lawyers aren't going to have to spend $1 billion to find out what the heck has gone on. The peer-reviewed science is called electricity. Electricians can explain this. So electrical engineers that are being unbiased, you know, I'm ashamed of some of those guys, but electrical engineers can explain this. It's not rocket science. Your lawyers are going to have, here's again, to warn the utilities and warn these guys, where even when I cross-examined their utility and went after these guys on the issues, any benefit they get, listen, they're going to get their butt sued off. And then on top of that's going to be the criminal liability. So when you imagine this, if this is causing genetic mutation and these frequencies are hitting you and hurting you, you have a lawsuit. If they're hitting your buildings, you have a lawsuit now. And those, and imagine this in this area here. This utility is going to cover 6,564 square miles with these frequencies. My questions to the utility in front of the Public Utilities Commission related to this were this. How did you accommodate for the building and infrastructure losses for municipalities over 17,000 square kilometers? How did you do this? Because they're going to be liable for every building, every person, every industry, all the damage across the board. And that's just the way it is now. And guess what? The peer-reviewed science is called electricity. I've been asked if I could change my opinion. The answer is, sure, if I could redefine electricity, but that can't happen.
Well, I think that we have an awful lot to do here, and we have an awful lot to learn, a lot to educate people on. I would suggest everybody going out there and doing whatever they can to help us in this quest to stop this from happening. So, Curtis, we're going on a little bit too long, and I'm getting the word saying that we should really stop. And I can't actually deal with this myself right now. So,
can I close with something?
Yes, please.
Here's what's important for all of you is that, and this is why I want to thank you so much, but I still want to apologize because as first responders, listen, we work for fire departments. We work as first responses to first response, and the idea that people got hurt and are hurt by this stuff is shameful. The fact that we weren't told or nobody was told, but here's what I'd like you guys to know and thank you. The noise that you're making across the country is this is what has allowed us to move forward to address this within our government, to address this at these levels, to work with engineers, to inform engineers, to provide documentation for a progressive zoning appeal committee where these guys will do their jobs. So you guys just make noise and go to these and share this information because here's the thing is, think about this. We're neurologically stimulating our children while we grade them on intelligence. While we interfere with, while we hurt them, while we do all the above, while we kill the teachers in the classroom, unions aren't negotiating for these health costs. There's just so much more you guys can do with this and inform your lawyers, inform your doctors. Listen, the game has changed. That's just the way it is. And here's something that I've even told these guys where they've said, this industry is too big to handle. And I said, what do you think lawyers are going to do when they find out there's just not a few people electro-hypersensitive? A lot of people are being radiated, and they all have lawsuits. And, oh, boy, 25% of millions of dollars per person, that's a lot of money for lawyers. And they're going to be all over this.
Well, I think that you're right, and I think that we have a lot to do on continuing this. And because I'm not feeling so great right now, I'm going to have to also ended, you know, today. But I wanted to thank everybody for joining us, and sorry about the way I'm feeling, but I think it's a good example as to what we have to stop. We have to stop these things from happening. So with that in mind, 100%. Yeah.
100%, and I want to thank all of you.
And thank you, Curtis, so much, and everybody else on this call, and we look forward to next week. And have a good week. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Thank you.
You are currently the only person in this conference.